This is a brief introduction to the Kina of Eicha Tif'arti, which is listed in Kina's books as Kinat, the ninth one for Tisha B'Av morning. It's one of the Kinos of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, perhaps the greatest of our composers of Kinos as well as Piyutim. This is a confusing Kina. In classic Rabbi Elazar HaKalir style, it is packed with fragments of different psukim, different verses from different parts of Tanakh, as well as references to Midrashim. It has a complicated poetic structure. The voice changes. Sometimes it's the Jews speaking, sometimes it's God speaking, sometimes it's a narrator speaking. The identity of the aggressor against us changes. Sometimes it describes what God does to us, sometimes what the enemy did to us, and it blends the two. And, you know, with many kinos, I've had the benefit of having listened to many recordings of Rav Soloveitchik's Tisha B'Av Shiurim. But with Eicha Tif'arti, although I think the Rav said it every year that of the years that I listened to, but he didn't comment on it. Some years he didn't comment at all. Some years he picked up on a particular word like Ma'arik or Sha'arei Chel, and said a few things about the word itself, but not the broad overview that he gave to some of the other kinos. Still, I think I could key message of the kina, and that is ripping off the veil of our hypocrisy. First, some notes on the structure. The kina presents with an at-bash structure in terms of the progression of the verses, meaning the first verse begins with the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph and Taf, Eicha Tif'arti, and then the next verse begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the next to last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Bet and Shin, Bila Shoftai, and then it continues progressively working its way inward in the alphabet, Gada, Rum, Darach, Kashto, with each verse working its way to the middle of the alphabet until there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, so it gets to Kaf and Lamed, the middle of the alphabet, and then it inverts and works its way to the reverse, so that after you have Kalu Lishod, Kaf and Lamed, the next one is Le'imo Sum Kilkul, Lamed Kaf, and then it works its way out of that further along in the alphabet with some quirks, but that's the structure that you have here. Worth noting that the final line of the kina may not actually be part of the kina at all. I'm going to come back to that in a little bit and also talk about the midpoint inversion in a bit, because that's, I think, an important point. Each verse in this kina begins with a word from a parallel verse in the second chapter of Eicha, so that the first line of the kina, Eicha Tif'arti, begins with Eicha from the first sentence in the second chapter of Eicha. The second verse begins with the word Bila, which is from the second sentence of Eicha, and so on through the verses of the kina. Also, in terms of the structure, each verse ends with a phrase taken from the 26th chapter of the book of Vayikra. First, from the blessings that are promised to us in that chapter, and then, at the midpoint of the kina, it starts to bring the punishments recorded in that chapter. So you have this, again, this midpoint transition that I want to talk about. On a related note, the Maharil, as brought in his Minhagim, Hilcha Shavasar B'Tammuz V'Tisha B'Av Chaf Dalet, in his list of kinos, he went from this kina into kina 15, Eicha Ashpaso. That may be because Kina 15 continues to draw on the 26th chapter of Vayikra, Parshas Bechukosai. It also could be, though, because that Kina of Eicha Ashpaso draws on the third chapter of Eicha. So this one draws on the second, then you go into the one that draws on the third. Either way, that's why some believe that the final line in this Kina may not be a part of it, because the final line in this Kina leads into what we have as Kina Yud. Kina of Eicha Yashva Chavatzelas HaSharon. If people were doing what the Maharil said and going instead into Kina 15, Eicha Ashpaso, then that line doesn't belong. But in any case, focusing back again on a central message here, we see a transition in the middle of this Kina. The At Bash reaches its theoretical end point when you get to the middle of the alphabet, but it keeps on going just reversed, working its way now to flip the Atbash. And we also switch from the blessings of Vayikra 26 that we're complaining that we didn't get to the curses that were applied to us from the Tochacha, the admonition and warning found in Vayikra 26. So what's the meaning of this midpoint transition in the Kina? Where we're changing the Atbash and where we're switching from the blessings to the punishments. So I'll point to a third change that happens midway through the Kina. In the first half, starting with the third verse and running to the middle, almost every line references the loss of the Beis Hamikdash and makes almost no mention of our guilt. So that we talk about in the Gimel one, Be'ivchas Cherev Sha'areihem, the destruction of the gates, and then it continues with the 13 breaks in the wall, in the Beis Hamikdash, the wall beyond which non-Jews were not supposed to enter in the Beis Hamikdash, Vayachmos Pinas Tzedek Malaya, Zanach El Yon Kiras Moadechem, line after line, it references the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, which is a specialty of chapter 2 in Eicha, by the way. Unlike the other chapters, chapter 2 really talks about the loss of the Beis Hamikdash. But that opening half of the Kina makes almost no mention of our guilt. You have a little bit in the opening line, a little bit in the Vav verse, and that's it. Makes almost no mention of our guilt. The second half of the Kina, on the other hand, starting with the Lamed line, does not mention the loss of the Beis Hamikdash at all. And instead, it presents the sins that preceded and precipitated our suffering. So we have a third change, right? First of all, the Atbash is changing. Second, we're switching from the blessings in Vayikra 26 to the warnings of punishment. And third, the first half speaks about the loss of the Beis Hamikdash, and the second half speaks about the sins that we committed. And this makes me wonder, all of this makes me wonder, about the opening line of the Kina. The opening line of the Kina asks, how is it that they cast down my splendor from my head? Eicha sif'arti merash osai hishlichu, how did they cast down my splendor? So two ways you could read this. One read is that the Jew is speaking, saying, Hashem and my enemies have cast down my splendor from my head. That splendor could be the Beis Hamikdash, which, you know, going back to the Mishkan, is l'chavod u'l'sif'eres. Although Yirmiyahu calls the leaders of the nation the Tiferes upon the head of the nation, Yirmiyahu chapter 13, sentence 18. But it's either way, whether it's about the Beis Hamikdash or our leaders, it's Hashem and my enemies have cast down my splendor from my head. That's one way to read it. Second way to read it, though, is Hashem is saying, the Jews threw down my splendor from my head. That splendor, again, could be the Beis Hamikdash that we defiled, or it could refer to the Jews themselves. Yeshaya calls the Jews Yisrael Asher Becha Espa'ar, Hashem's splendor. We threw ourselves from God's head by sinning. So you have two different ways to read the opening line. Either the Jews are saying, they threw the splendor from my head, or Hashem is saying, they, the Jews, threw the splendor, removed the splendor, cast down the splendor from my head. So in that light, and seeing the midpoint transition, I would suggest the Kina is intentionally ambiguous. In the first half of the Kina, we complain that Hashem and our enemies have cost us our splendor, the Beis Hamikdash, and the blessings that we were promised in the first part of Vayikra 26. That's the opening half. We are complaining about what was done to us, taking away our splendor and our blessings. In the second half, Hashem responds that we are the ones who cast down Hashem's splendor. Yisrael asher b'cha espa'ar. We did that with our sins, as predicted in the second part of Vayikra 26. So the message of the Kina is that the loss goes both ways. Even as we complain that Hashem tore away our splendor, we must remember that in our transgressions we tore away Hashem's splendor. Now, the Rav always said that Kinos are not about tshuva and self-improvement. They're wailing about our pain. Nonetheless, it seems clear to me, and here I return to my opening point, that Rabbi Elazar HaKalir is invested in tearing the veil away from our hypocrisy. We complain all about our pain. We complain about our suffering. We complain about our tiferet, our splendor that has been torn away from us. However, we have to make sure the mourner understands what led to the pain. And that's what he's saying here. Don't complain only about the splendor removed from your head. Think about the splendor that you removed from Hashem's head as well. May we merit that we contemplate this splendor that was lost, our splendor that was lost, and the splendor that we ourselves caused to be lost, and regain both b'mhirah b'yameinu.